B-Pod Studios.
I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Put your dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Edwards to 12 feet, drop back to Robert Williams, cranks one up from the top of the circle and hits on his career night. 18 for Robert Williams in 16 minutes. He is 7 for 7 from the floor. That's the longest jumper he's hit in the NBA.
Those numbers are going to look so good.
A Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. It was the Robert Williams show last night. We got to see the Celtics beat up on a team that really isn't very good. However, that team did beat the Milwaukee Bucks a day earlier. But either way, it was nice to see an absolute thrashing, the highest score that they have delivered the entire season. And Danny Ainge, he is the Celtics president of basketball operations. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Rich, John, Joe. How we doing today?
Excellent. Are you in the bubble, or are you still here in Massachusetts?
Yeah, no, I'm actually on the West Coast right now today.
Okay, all right. Now, do you plan on going to the bubble? Like, is there a certain level that the team will get to, or a certain round, and then you'll end up kind of stationing yourself there for a while?
So probably not stationing myself. We've got a lot of stuff going on, getting ready for free agency and draft and all those types of things. And so I think that depending on what we're going to be able to do more than what we're doing now, which is mostly watching film and having meetings on players, but I probably will go down to watch some games.
How tough is this for you with this shortened? Because, I mean, obviously you don't have a ton of time to plan for next season when it comes to the draft. How intense is this couple of months getting ready for obviously a very important part of the season for you, the off season?
Well, you know, we're staying prepared. I think we're ready to go right now if we had to with the draft and with free agency, but we're continuing to have more and more conversation. We're watching all these NBA games. I think they've been very exciting and fun. Not surprising to me, but I've really enjoyed watching the games. The intensity of the games have been a top-notch, top level, and it's been fun watching the NBA back in action.
I mean, as far as like the draft and the decisions that you're going to have to make, and these, you know, and the scouting and these looking. I mean, you didn't have a March Madness, you know, and in this environment, it's tough to be in contact with a lot of these guys. How tough does that part make for you with this shortened season?
Yeah, you know, it's not quite the same as doing Zoom calls with players, as meeting them in person, watching them work out. So it is a little more difficult for sure. And, I'm hoping that we'll find a way to have a little bit more contact with some of these potential draftees. It's not easy, but it's not easy on the kids. It's not easy on anybody. It's, you know, I hate to say it's not easy for us because, you know, I think the kids are the ones that miss out on the March Madness more than we do.
Like, are you doing, like, virtual workouts? Is it almost kind of like you're getting videos like Uncle Rico and Napoleon Dynamite, just like them filming themselves doing things? Like, how different is that part of it?
Well, not directly, no. We're not doing virtual workouts yet. We're doing just interviews. And I think the virtual workouts are potential next step, but not sure how beneficial those are. We do get a lot of videos sent to us from guys that are working out. We do see a lot on Twitter and Instagram of players working out that are in the draft, and usually they're best dunks and things like that. But no, it's just as much as anything, we're just watching them play real college basketball games. I mean, we're just studying more people and more people for longer periods of time than we have in the past.
Danny, you're only 2-2 since the restart, but from where I sit, there's a lot to like. I mean, you were telling us that Kemba Walker's knee is pretty good, and in the minutes that he's played, he looks fantastic. Jaylen Brown has taken a step forward, and Jason Tatum has kind of picked up right where he left off. There's a lot to like about your team right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think last night's game was our best performance as far as just defensive intensity throughout stretches. It's been a pattern of ours all year, where we have these stretches of defense where it's spectacular, and then you just one person takes the foot off the gas, and our defense takes a step back. And, you know, we really have to get back to playing that defense for more minutes as we head into the playoffs. And I think the bubble's been good for us to see how teams are playing, to see where our team is. Last night was a good opportunity for us to see some of the guys that don't get a chance to play that we still really believe in. And but you just, as the average fan, just doesn't get an opportunity to see what those guys are capable of doing.
Hey, Danny, has there been any discussion about seeding and maybe resting players? I know Kemba's not playing a back-to-back, but we saw Milwaukee sit players in the second half. You know, the Lakers did it last night. Is there any discussion on, you know, seeding and where you guys want to end up when it's all said and done?
Yeah, so, I don't think those teams are doing it for seeding. I think those teams are doing because, you know, they have incentive to win just to maintain number one home court advantage throughout the entire playoffs, even against each other. So I think that the decisions that we've made are based on the health of the players. Some of the decisions that we make, like the Kemba decision was made before we even started playing in the bubble down there. So I think that we're trying to win every game. We're trying to go out there and compete. And yet at the same time, we're trying to make sure that all of our players are healthy by the time the playoffs roll around.
Who are you expecting the most out of right now on the bench? Like from the guys, I'm not talking like, you know, the first couple. I'm talking the ones that you're hoping can make some sort of contribution to this team. We're talking about Waters and definitely Carson Edwards, another guy that I know that you're a big fan of. Last night we saw it with Robert Williams. Which ones of these guys do you think has earned their right to be able to play real minutes when it comes playoff time?
Well, you know, so first of all, Robert Williams was playing real minutes. He's playing every night, playing in games and so forth until he got hurt. He's proven to be a good player. Last night he proved, you know, we have three centers and they can all play. And so matchups may determine some of that. Romeo Langford also was on a really nice run when the season ended. And I thought he had a really good game last night, came in the game early, contributed. We were plus 27 when he was on the court for 20-something minutes of the game. His defense was outstanding against their excellent players and two starters for them, Caris LeVert and Joe Harris. He was doing a fantastic job of guarding them. Matter of fact, better than anyone else on our team, except maybe Marcus. So, I think that those two guys – will contribute. Brad Wanamaker again showed what he can do last night in like 19 or 20 minutes, you know, 13 points. He's one of the best spot up shooting threes in the league, best free throw shooters. But we are going to have between Marcus Smart, Jalen and Jason, and Gordon Hayward and Kemba, we are going to have most likely three of those guys on the court at all times. Of those five guys. So we need guys that are going to be able to play defense, knock down an open shot. We don't need necessarily offensive creators. And matter of fact, I think that, you know, Gordon is showing how good he's playing right now. We need to get the ball in his hands more to create offense because he's such a good ball mover and, on the pick and roll. So Carson Edwards, I think Brad believes in him. If we needed some shooting, obviously Anas Kanter has been played very well for us off the bench, was huge for us the other night. And I know I'm forgetting somebody. But
Romeo Langford.
Yeah, no, he mentioned Romeo. And that's the thing.
I mentioned Langford.
Yeah. Where do you think he is?
I know Javonte Green can do a lot of the things that Romeo's doing too. It's just not enough room for everybody. But I like our bench. I know that it's been maligned because a lot of the time is because they don't get a chance to play consistently, and because we have those other five guys that are getting the ball most of the time. And Shimi Ojeleo, that's who I was forgetting. Shimi is a guy that switches really well for us. you know, he's better against some teams than others with his switchability and versatility. He knocked down a couple big threes last night or early in the game. So anyway, I think that we have sufficient, you know, we need to, you know, Robert was a big one for us last night just to see him play, and he's back healthy, but he brings something a little bit different than what we have on the bench, which is a guy that can protect the rim and space the court offensively above the square.
I wanted to get back to Romeo Langford. Where do you think he is offensively? I understand there are a lot of other top guns around him, but it looks like he's still kind of finding his stride there.
Yeah, but, you know, like, I don't know how many shots he took last night, like maybe two or three. He's a really good basketball player. I mean, the thing I like about Romy is he is has been, you know, he's one of the leading scorers in the history of Indiana basketball, and he can really score the ball. He led the country in scoring around the, in, you know, in the paint as a true freshman. He has a really good feel. He's working on his outside shooting. His outside shooting has really improved. And I think that, you know, but he's just right now, he's not getting a chance to shoot five or six in a game and take that next step. And I think he will. But what I really appreciate about him is he's able to find his way, not dominate the ball, make a contribution with his defense. And I think that that is huge for our team right now. And I'm confident that he's going to be able to knock down shots and be able to create offense in the pick and roll, even as his career progresses.
Hey, Danny, did Jason Tatum or his people ever come to you during the break and ask for an extension?
No, they know that you can't do that. That's against all the rules. You can't do extensions right now.
Well, there was talk.
You got to wait to the off season.
Okay, but wasn't there talk about a guarantee, some sort of insurance guarantee in case these, you know, these players got hurt? There was some talk about how he had expressed some sort of interest in that. Was there any discussion about that? Since it was a different time,
I think that was more with the union and the league because those are against all the rules. We can't participate in insurance, and we can't participate in extensions. So I think there was some discussion, Rich, about that, about, you know, maybe getting some protection for the players, the league contributing and things like that. And I don't think they did that. But and I don't know which individual players. A lot of times in these situations, and I know this particular situation has never happened, but where a player going into the last year of a contract might get their own insurance, and I have no idea what the individuals have purchased on their own.
But you're confident that, I mean, obviously you've been wide open about how much you love Jason Tatum. You want him to remain here for a while, correct?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, and when you see what he's done, and then you look also at Jaylen Brown, I mean, Jaylen's funny. You're watching these two, and I don't know who it was who said it, but I thought it was a good observation. It almost seemed like Jason Tatum went next level when he became an all-star, and Jaylen Brown went next level when he didn't. It's almost like the chip on the shoulder type of thing, and I take it that, you know, you've got to be impressed by what he's been able to come and how he's been able to go. At least he might be the most consistent player on this team right now.
You know, I think that both guys have been very impressive from the very moment that we got them, and they have made great strides as well. But as 19-year-old kids coming into our organization, just who they are, what they are on a daily basis, and just watching them blossom, and I think they're not what they're going to be even yet. And so, yeah, I'm very excited about their futures.
Hey, Danny, I don't want to get you in trouble here, but I like to watch these games and see who the refs are. And at least the first three, we call it the wrangle, the ref angle. You watching those first three games, do you think that the referees may have had an impact in some things that happened on the court? And also, is there something to, I don't know, Marcus Smart falling out in the third quarter, Jason Tatum having three fouls in the first quarter last night, or Jaylen Brown playing with five fouls? Like, is this just don't know. Is it just what's happening with the Celtics right now, or are you there questioning some of the decisions from the officials?
Oh, I mean, I always question officials' calls. It's my.
Did you watch him play?
It's my greatest weakness in life. Right now. I'm 61 years old, and I still haven't been able to overcome it. But to be able to forgive referees, but it's a tough job. I don't think that all those things that you just mentioned have anything to do with that. I think we've got ourselves in some tough positions. I mean, Marcus, I didn't get in foul trouble the other night because we were really trying to play small, and he was guarding so much bigger. And sometimes, Jalen will get in foul trouble too because he's trying to guard, a guy that is 20 pounds heavier and much taller than him. And because we like to play four smalls often. So sometimes it's just that they're just tough matchups. And, there's been, I mean, every team has calls that they're not happy with. Obviously, all you have to do is watch a game and you can see every coach and every player on both teams, complaining about the calls, and there's so many calls that can just go either way. Even on review, even in the review is not, there's disputes on slow motion frame by frame replays that it's hard to get agreement on. So it's a tough job.
When the league sends out though that they made a mistake, when you get the letter, do you just roll your eyes or do you say anything? What happens there?
Most of the times I just say to myself, yeah, I know you made a mistake.
Danny, when is the last time you swore?
I don't know. Maybe in my head I swore. I've never had a sworn for quite a while, but might have said a swear word when I, missed a 3-foot putt last week.
All right. Because what word do you use to substitute for a mortal human being swear? Like when we're yelling, like, the F-bomb or S, like what does Danny Ainge say to replace that?
I'm not sure. I don't really yell things out much. I must mostly just keep it in, but.
That's not a healthy way to live, Danny.
Yeah. I just don't know. Swearing doesn't help me. It's not like I've never sworn before or lost my mind, but I just, it doesn't really help. I try to keep calmer in my old age, keep my blood pressure down.
As I said, for most human beings, it's a natural reaction. It's not even like something you can't even think about repressing. It just comes out.
Yeah.
So there's not. So instead of like the F-bomb, like we don't get like a fiddlesticks or a darn tootin' or anything like that. It's just you swallow it and it builds up inside until one day you go on like a crazy spree of violence.
Yeah, no, I don't really react with words like that. Okay. I don't feel the need to do that.
Far better person than the rest of us.
But last time you did, what was the occasion?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Maybe just back in my playing days, those are intense moments. And, there's nothing like playing in the NBA, fighting for your life and playing at, giving everything that you got out on the court. Those are days where it's much easier to lose control of your emotions than it is, on the golf course when you're not playing well.
Yeah.
When I do hit a bad shot, I do laugh a lot at my bad shot.
Okay.
And I guess that's my release. I just kind of make a bit, just laugh.
And then cry.
Yeah.
Well, that is healthier than just like swallowing it on the inside. So I will give you that. All right. Well, Danny, this was a fun game to watch last night. I know it was against a bad team or a team that, you know, doesn't have a lot of their starters, but it was nice to see the bench play the way that they did. I can't wait for this little regular season thing to be done and for the playoffs to start. And I've liked what I've seen so far. So congrats on that. All right. We will talk to you again soon next week. Thanks, Danny, for checking in on us. Appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Have a good week. See
you. Too. All right. See you, man. Someone said Angel's last swear was when Tree Rollins bit him. Yeah, that might be it. And then that was all you needed at that point.
Well, which one of us hasn't sworn when we've blown a 3-foot putt? I've missed like 15 of those in a row. Come on.
Can you imagine having that superpower where let out an audible grunt? It doesn't even have to be a swear.
How do you keep that locked up?
I think the first word I say in the day is a swear.
Yeah. It's just every day you drop, yeah. All of us, every day drop F-bombs. I mean,
the alarm goes off and I'm like, it's the first word.
Yeah. Especially when you work this shift, I completely agree with you. When the alarm goes off.
Joe, when you wake up, the first thing he goes, you just, the F-bomb just rolls out of your mouth. Sure. God, can you imagine having that type of restraint?
That is a superpower. That really is. That I would bet almost no one has other than him.
I bet even Roach swears.
Oh God, yes. I've been present for that. No, don't let him fool you.
I'm going to tweet him. I want to find out if he swears.
If he says he doesn't, he's lying.
I'm telling you though, Brad Stevens is going to pop off one day if these calls continue. Yeah, someone's going to pop off.
It's been bad.
Well, Brad Stevens, you know, we were joking about how he's the worst challenge. I mean, he won one the other night, but he almost never wins. But Brad hasn't been like calm Brad lately. He's been losing his mind, and for good reason. But he's someone who swears. We've heard him on TV swear before. Yeah. It's leaked out before.
Yep.
All right. Now I have to check. Now I have to see if Dan Roach has ever sworn before. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Hey, we want some birthday cake. Hey, we want some bread balloons. Hey, we want shenanigans. Hey, we want a can of squirt. I like bowling.
You know, of all the times I've talked to Dan Roach on and off the air, I have never heard him swear. Maybe he and Danny Ainge are the only two people that I've ever met who have never let a swear word.
I've heard it, Rich. I have.
You've heard Dan Roach swear?
I have heard Dan Roach swear. Again, I've known Danny a long time. I've heard him swear. Not recently, but in the past I have.
It's like Andrew Dice Danny? Is that, is he letting him fly all over the place?
It's exactly like that.
Okay, all right.
It's so. Kind of like spotting a unicorn in the woods is what it is.
Okay.
Did you
immediately, just your head turn and go, what? Like, how did that come out of you?
Well, I didn't know at the time. I mean, Dan and I were much younger back then. Back then he wasn't the legend he has grown to be at this point. I didn't realize that seeing it or hearing it was going to be as big a deal as it has turned into. At the time. So I didn't give that the event the proper reaction it deserved.
All right. Well, someone who swears by the Bruins.
Hey, now.
Who's been on hold and we've pissed off for almost an entire hour because he's been on hold. Let's finally get to him. Xanadude, the gentleman that you can now see.
I just have to be on the air. I'm not pissed off. I'm not too worried about it.
Excellent. Well, all right, Xanadude, you called in, and I'm glad you did because this is the there's no bigger fan than Xanadude for the Boston Bruins. Matter of fact, you've seen him on ESPN, which is hysterical because to see anything hockey on ESPN is definitely jarring enough. But to see a guy that we, of course, know and who roller skates around all of Boston wearing his Michael Ryder jersey, then God bless Xanadude. All right, you had something you wanted to say to the team. Is that correct?
That's true. So I got my pump-up speech. I'm going to front-load with the general speech, and then I'm going to start calling out players, and you guys can cut me off if it feels like I'm going too long. All right.
Go for it.
So great moments are born from great opportunity, and painful moments are born from being a Bruins fan. That's what you do to us. That's the anger you've earned from us. You've made the playoffs 10 times. You've lost 9. I'm sick and tired of hearing what a great Bruins team this is. June 12th was a painful day for Bruins Nation, and this year you have the chance to cleanse the wounds of failure and bring home the cup. You were all born to be hockey players. Go out there and play like it. Pasta, that dipsy doodle stuff works at the rink in Malden. It doesn't work in the NHL. Put the puck in the net. Mashi, you have evolved from a little ball of hate to an elite player in the NHL. Play like it, and no matter how much time you think is left in the period, add 15 seconds. Bergeron, you got a pass when you were playing with the list of injuries that sounded like you were in a car accident. You are an all-time great Bruins player. I look at those Raptors, I see Orr, I see Esposito, and your number is going to go up there. But you know what? You need a second Stanley Cup ring. Krejci, Nathan Horton is not walking through that door. Use your genius-level hockey IQ to set up whoever we put with you this game or this period or this shift and score a goal. Charlie McAvoy, or Joe Murray says, Charlie McAverage, you're wearing 73, my boy Michael Ryder. But you're giving us regular season Michael Ryder, and in you, there's playoff Michael Ryder. Show us that guy. Chara, you played the Stanley Cup final with a broken jaw, one of the greatest instances of scrotal fortitude I have ever seen. Whoever is out there, you're bigger than him. Hit him. And finally, Tuukka, close your legs. You're like a cheating ex-girlfriend. You're letting everybody in. You can go down in Bruins history as the greatest Bruins goalie if you would just win one more game. Go out there and show us the greatness that you as a team are capable of doing and win the cup. That's all I got.
Pissed.
Dude,
I'm excited.
I got to be honest. That was better than I thought it was going to be. I was tempted, Xanadu, like 10 seconds into it. But you know what? You delivered. You did well.
Rich, I got one thing out of it. I plan to use this later on today or whenever I can to tell someone that they need scrotal fortitude. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
All we know.
I'm going to use that every day now.
Well, what we've learned is that Xanadu hates the Bruins, so I have to imagine. Oh, I think he's just completely trolling him now.
All right, Rich, you got to reconnect.
Yes,
you got you're blipping it out. Let's take a break. We'll do Joe Murray's headlines, and when we come back, Rich certainly with a secure connection from Nantucket. Joe Murray's next.
All right, 98.5 of Sports Hub. All right, there's something that's probably going to get Joe Murray very excited that we were to see Joe Murray that you have seen. I haven't watched this yet, but I am having it put into the system as we speak. I don't know what this is as far as anything about this person, but I know that Joe Murray knew a lot about this guy. I have to find out whether we need to beep anything out of it. I don't really know, but we will get to all of that in just a matter of moments. But first, so everyone knows that John Gruden is, of course, the most important member of the NFL. He's makes the world go round. John Gruden, unlike most people, most scientists, and I would say a lot of thoughtful people, a lot of leaders, they haven't quite figured out how to beat this whole COVID-19 thing. However, John Gruden has. This is John Gruden before the whole season started here. Let's take a listen.
You know, I miss being around people. I'm a handsy guy. I like to hug people. I high-five them. It's been tough on America. It's been tough on the world. And I just want to keep reiterating that to our players. We got to beat the virus. One mistake can bring us all down in a real bad way. And it's not just coming to football. It can create a terrible illness. So I want to dominate when we leave the building. We want to crush this virus. We want to beat this virus into the ground. And I can use those words because it's not on our schedule. But it is an opponent that we have not been able to beat. It can really break you down physically. I know a lot of people that have had it and have it, and it's an awful thing, and we don't want to have anything to do with it but beating it.
All right, why is it that when John Gruden says we're going to crush this virus, do I, for the very first time, believe that he's going to crush this virus single-handedly, Mr. John Gruden.
You know what I think?
What's that?
I think it's the ravings of a lunatic. That's the first thing I think of when I listen to John Gruden talk about this.
I'm going to take my shirt off. I'm going to do bare knuckle paradise. We're going to just, man, mano y mano. I'm going to wrestle that sunbitch COVID-19 to the ground. I'm going to make him tap out like a punk. So maybe these are words that he obviously lives by.
Maybe he's the reason why Minshew had those weird tests, you know, because he wants his boy. Well, Foles is in Chicago now, right?
Right. Foles has got
Foles in Chicago. Maybe
I was going to say maybe he's messing with everybody's tests. I mean, this is a crazy story, Rich. A lunatic.
He's a lunatic.
All right. So just maybe to your point that maybe John Gruden isn't all there, surprise, is that apparently the other day the Raiders had this team Zoom meeting that a lot of teams are doing right now where, you know, it's all the players and the coaches on there and talking. This is Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network telling what happened with John Gruden's Raiders the other day regarding their first team meeting.
Steve, I want to relay a story I heard last week because this is pretty telling about how teams are approaching how things are right now in the COVID world, and that is the Raiders players logging on to a Zoom call last week expecting to see John Gruden. Instead, they saw Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coach and the assistant head coach. Bisaccia told them, guys, Coach Gruden has COVID, and he's at the hospital now, and he's being taken care of, and the players were taken aback. Whoa. They shortly thereafter told him, you know what? We're just putting you on a little bit. And it wasn't a joke. What it was the team illustrating to the players that this could happen at any moment to anybody. And mind you, this was a couple days before Doug Peterson with the Eagles tested positive. So the point to the players was, you've got to stay ready. You've got to stay ready. Everybody's got to stay ready because this virus that Gruden himself said that they want to crush could pop up, and it doesn't discriminate.
Hang on. So he says, tell the guys I got COVID, all right? Make them freak out a bunch, all right? Man, hey, our coach is sick. And then tell them I don't have it. That'll be a funny prank.
What the hell is wrong with this guy? I mean, it's funny.
Hey, guys, I got cancer.
For a moment, and then it's just it's just friggin' nuts.
Hey, Dave, your mom just died in a car accident. Just kidding. It's not true. What if he actually gets COVID? That's going to be great. And everyone's going to be like, yeah, whatever, jackass. He's like dying in the hospital. No, no, this time it's for real. I promise. Yeah, sure, whatever. I mean, hey, guys, you know what? I got leukemia. Just joshing.
What is the thought process that you go through and say, all right, we're going to fake everybody out. I'm going to tell everyone I have it. And that'll really get them ready. That will prepare them for the future by faking the fact that I have COVID. I mean, somebody has to stand up in that room and say, John, you're thinking like a lunatic. What the hell's wrong with you?
Listen, I didn't think it was real. And I didn't think this thing was serious until John Gruden faked for 20 seconds that he had it. No, it's not everything that's been going on for the last, like, 5-6 months dealing with all around it. It's when John Gruden wasn't on our Zoom for a moment. And, oh, man, Gruden is just, what a maniac. What a maniac. By the way, somebody said there's no way that Dan Roach didn't swear when they closed Disney World. That's a good point. That's an excellent point. All right, now, somebody stole my thought. John Gruden is the Michael Scott of football coaches. That is a Michael Scott from The Office move, if I've ever heard one, where he fakes his own. What was like the episode when he was, you know, going through? He said he was going to commit suicide when he was on top of the roof. Remember, they got the bounce house that he was going to jump across the parking lot of the bounce. Dude, that's what that is.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the Michael Scott of the NFL.
You get to a point where you go too far. You know, and Gruden's been riding his train for a long time. I mean, we saw it during Hard Knocks. I mean, Gruden is what he is. He's real. But then you get to a point where you see what you are and try and extend it out a little bit, if you understand what I'm saying. This is him overreaching. Sure. And it's overreaching wildly. And it's overreaching for no reason. Like you said, this isn't a new thing. It's not gonna catch the players by surprise. And that 20 seconds that they thought he was actually sick isn't going to get them through the fourth quarter of a big game later in the season. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this isn't going to get them that ninth or tenth win to get them into the playoffs.
Just imagine it there. Hey, listen, I'm suffering from Alzheimer's. And just kidding. I remember everything. I'm good. I mean, that is one of the more ridiculous stories I've heard. I love how, like, Garofalo right there was trying to, explain. And he wasn't doing it as a prank. He was doing it to really deliver a message. Well, either way, it turned out to be utterly insane. It's from an insane man. Okay, I need to get to this because I don't know what this is. So the other day we were discussing wrestling. I don't know how it came up, but the Boneyard match came up. And
yeah,
No. I was talking about the Boneyard match that
was
at
leading
the WrestleMania.
Up to it. He's okay. Leading up to it.
And how cheesy it was with the Druids and the Boneyard and all this stuff. And then somebody tweeted me and said, ask Joe Murray about the Boner Yard match that was done this weekend with a guy named Sex Ferguson and another wrestler. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know if this is filled with misprints or this stuff really exists. And apparently it does, because this guy, Sex Ferguson, who's a wrestler for what is he in the WWE?
His real name is Luke Gallows. Him and Anderson, they were a part of WWE and obviously the Boneyard match. They got released after all the COVID WWE stuff. And now they're basically working for another promotion. But they were, making fun of the Boneyard match with the Boner Yard match. And
okay,
so they went as Sex Ferguson and 2Chad or something like that.
Oh, yeah, Chad Too Bad was his name. Chad, that's right. There, yeah. So I just got a tweet from, I'll give him credit, Zachary. Zachary tweeted us and said, so you guys were talking about Sex Ferguson a few days ago. I have a shout-out from the legend himself for you. Hope you enjoy. And I look at this video, and there is a very large gentleman wearing a captain's hat. Yeah. And a sunglasses with only one lens inside of it. And apparently, this would be Mr. Ferguson right here.
Yep.
All right. So let's take a listen to what Mr. Sex Ferguson has to say. I have the clip right here. Here we go. The one labeled Sex Ferguson.
Well. If it ain't Toucher and Rich over on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Yeah, Zachary Bridgham told him you don't know the legend of the wrestling legend, Sex Ferguson, buddy! Yay! So first of all, I'm wrestling legend Sex Ferguson, and you're listening to Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub. Also, I heard John Wall Dick and Joe Murray over there, they don't know about old Sex either. Well, I'd like to tell you boys this. I've been from every territory, the Maritimes, to South America, to the Far East. And I'd love to kick your ass all over this room, Wall Dick. You too, Murray. You ain't got nothing on your favorite uncle. That's Uncle Sex. So you can read it. I won't say it because it's on the radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.